Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. It was 100 years ago that the Pulitzer Prize was established to honor journalism. What does the coveted prize mean in today's world of journalism? We'll talk about that a little bit later. But first, we want to acknowledge another anniversary, yesterday's 15th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on 9/11. The day revived memories of the horrific events in New York City, Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and Washington, D.C., bringing to mind once again the enormity of national and personal loss. St. Louis Public Radio's Mary Leonard has tracked milestone anniversaries since 2002. She joins me in studio to reflect on that. Mary, good to have you with us.
Hey, Don. Glad to be here. Sad topic.
So. Sad topic, yes, it is. You know, and you said something before we went on the air that I'd like to just talk about for a moment. You said you wonder if people are suffering from emotional fatigue after 15 years. What do you think? Do you think they are?
Well, on a daily basis, no. I think Americans in general, on a daily basis, no. I think the families who lost loved ones, I think anybody who was injured or suffered or, and I also think of the rescue workers who went and suffered all kinds of physical ailments that we're just finding out about today. They, I think about it every day. I think the rest of us don't. But I do think around the anniversaries, there's a tendency sometimes for people to just really watch so much of the coverage and to see those old news clips of the planes hitting, of the fires, of the. And I think after a while, most people have to eventually turn away from it.
Yeah. You know, I've heard, as you have, I'm sure, a number of interviews over the weekend with people who survived or who lost relatives there. And the emotion is very, very clear. I mean, they weep. They still weep, which is understandable on every level. So the emotion is still very, very strong.
Every anniversary that I have covered, I talk to people who either survived or who lost someone. And I can tell you, it is very sad. It is very sad for them. It's very emotional for them. I liken it sometimes to picking at a scab. Hmm. You have to almost do that in order for the blood to flow, and that sounds horribly cruel, and I feel terrible about it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes people really do have to talk a little bit about it before they can be honest about where they are today.
Yeah.
In order to talk about where they are today, they almost have to revisit. And that's sad. It's very sad for me to do those interviews as well.
It's kind of a catharsis, but on the other hand, by reviving the emotion, it's not cathartic.
But I can tell you, the one thing that these people would all want to hear and need to hear from all of us, mm-hmm. we'll always remember. We will never forget. I think those are the words that people really need to hear.
And that's from what I gather from what you've written and from other things that I've read, that is the major concern, is that people will forget and will tend to kind of draw back from it.
I think this particular anniversary being the 15th, we now are at a place where younger Americans were either not born or too young to have witnessed what all of us saw that day. I mean, we have a tendency in to talk about where were you when you heard, what were you doing? And so many of us, it was shared pain. We watched it together. We stood arm in arm. Now we have a generation coming of age who don't have that shared experience. And I think one of the concerns is to make sure that you know, the message doesn't get lost.
Of course, one of the things that they do have are those videos and those photographs and the testimonials and the reaction to families. So that keeps it alive. You know, there wasn't much or any of that really at Pearl Harbor, for instance.
And that's what I tell myself. Yeah. I feel that's part of my duty. That's part of my job has been to document this. This was history. And I think what I also find when I'm talking to people who were directly impacted, as difficult as it is for them to talk about it, they want to. They feel a duty. They want people to remember. And if it means that they have to talk about it and tell the story again, they do it.
Is there a most memorable discussion for you with someone on this topic over the years?
Probably the one that will always stand out in my mind was I interviewed a man from Maryland Heights, Kevin Boyer.
And I that's just recently. Yeah.
And I've talked to him on the first anniversary, the fifth anniversary, the 10th anniversary, and the 15th anniversary. So on the fifth anniversary in particular, when we sat down to talk, I don't know how it came up in the conversation, but he mentioned that he still has the clothes that he wore. He had been hunched over and hiding just about a block away when the first tower fell, the South Tower.
Was he a worker on the site?
He had been working on the 70th floor. Yeah. And so he was like 20 floors under where the plane had hit. Mm. And he had made it out of the building and had called home to say that he was home. And then he had gone back to just try to find some other coworkers. He was about a block away when that tower crumbled. So he was caught in that awful debris cloud. And it was harrowing. He thought he would die. But what I remember the most is when he said that he still had the clothes, but he never looked at the sack. He had them in a plastic sack in his closet. He knew it was there, but he wouldn't peek in. He just couldn't throw it away. He went and got the clothes and showed them to me. Mm. And I will never forget that. Because there was still ash in his pants and, you know, the pants, like the cuffs, and his shirt had blood on it, although he hadn't been injured. And it was the first time, I think, that he really shared that. And I'll never forget that. And he still has those clothes. He still can't throw them away.
That's a big part of your most recent story on this anniversary. And I have to say, I read that and heard what he had to say about it. And I had to wonder why. Why would you hang on to something like that? I guess I can see it on the one hand. On the other, I can't understand it.
I think people deal however they can. And for everyone, it's different. It's just all of us who've dealt with grief in our lives and dealt with tragedy. We all cope however it is that we can. And for him, he holds on to them. And he has difficulty telling you why, but I think it's almost he has not been to the World Trade Center memorial in New York, even though he goes back to New York. He had been working as a consultant that day, so he wasn't normally in New York when the attack took place. So, but he goes back to New York for his job, and he'll tell you he's never been able to go and look at the memorial.
I can understand that. I mean, going back to the scene of such horror.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What was the difference between your conversation with him on the fifth anniversary and on the 15th? Had there been any change in his emotional response to all of this?
Well, I think he still gets very emotional at times, but I think he has been able to, he has told his story so many times, and this is one of the things that I admire about all of these people who suffered such loss. Even the Nelsons that I spoke with the other day, they had lost their son. But I think it's more a case of they've told their story very, very often, and they're able to tell the story now. There's something about the grief process and coming to cope with it. It's still very difficult, but it's this duty that they feel, and I really admire the fact that they do it. I think it's always still difficult, but I think it's just some people aren't able to talk about it. And I would never push them to. If they say, no, I don't want to talk, I've left them alone. But there are these people who feel this duty, and I think those are the folks who I really admire.
You mentioned the Nelsons. Again, they were part of your story. Warren Nelson, and he and his wife lost their son on 9/11.
David. He was from the Kirkwood High grad, and they lived in Kirkwood for many, many years, the family. So a lot of people knew them.
Mr. Nelson is in his 90s, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And the emotion for him and his family has to be a strong today as it ever was. Scary. Can't imagine losing someone, watching this happen, and knowing that your relative, your son, your daughter, whatever, is there.
No, he talks, he's a World War II vet, and he saw friends killed in the Pacific. He was in the Army Air Corps, and he talked about seeing, you know, that and dealing with that loss, but having to go back and fly again the next day. And he talked about it and how difficult that was. But it, he said, this is different. He thinks about his son every day. 15 years later, he still thinks about his son every day.
You know, over the years, and particularly as various anniversaries of World War II came and went, I've interviewed a number of combat veterans in that war. And I can tell you, Mary, that and I'm probably dozens of them, those who were in combat, I never interviewed one of them who didn't weep during the course of the interview.
Absolutely. Yeah. As did Mr. Nelson.
Sure.
And it was – it's you know, I try to be very respectful when I'm doing these interviews. And I try to be very respectful in my reporting as well. And I take that very seriously. That's probably the biggest thing that I have in the back of my mind when I go in to do these stories is I will be respectful. If they can't talk about something or don't want to, I will respect that. And I'll never push anyone to do an interview on this topic if they don't want to.
How tough is it on you?
It's sad. It makes me sad. Mm. I'll be really honest about it. It even on the 15th, I work on these stories several weeks in advance. And so when the story actually runs, everybody else is just now thinking about, you know, September 11th, and I've been thinking about it for weeks. And it's not about me, I do feel very, very sad. And I will not watch the coverage usually myself because, you know. But I want to say, I'm going to give people in Belleville credit. They just yesterday dedicated a new memorial. And I want to give them some credit for having worked for many years now to raise the money to do this memorial. And I think one of the great parts about that monument is that it's to all of the victims who died at the World Trade Center, at the Pentagon, Flight 93. And it's not just, and it's also to the rescue workers, you know, the aid workers, the firefighters. And they say that it's about the resilience of the American spirit as much as it is about the sadness of the day.
Yeah, well, just, you know, I feel so much for the way you feel about it, having been exposed to this. But I heard you say the other day that you're not going to go through this again on the 20th anniversary.
Oh, I'm kind of old, Don.
I've
been doing this for 40 years, so I may be in my rocking chair by then, I think.
Well, that wasn't the sense that I got. The sense I got was you don't want to go through this again. As a working person, certainly.
It's difficult. I don't know. I say that every anniversary, that I really don't want to do this again because I always feel so badly for the people that I'm talking to.
Sure. Where were you on 9/11?
I was on the streets of St. Louis doing a taking the pulse of St. Louis. I was with the Post-Dispatch at the time, and I was with a team of reporters who were sent out to talk to St. Louisans. And I was all over the city that day talking to people. And it was one of the most memorable days I'll ever remember, even though I saw little of the coverage myself because I was out on the street. And back then, we didn't have social media and the internet, so I couldn't check to see what was going on my phone. I was hearing about what was going on through the people who were watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, mentioning the social media aspect of this, that certainly was a different day. I just wonder what it would have been like in terms of the emotion on individuals had they been able to look at their phone throughout the day, you being one of them, and watch all of this unfold.
I remember walking into St. Louis Center. Remember St. Louis Center and the Radio Shack there? And there were people gathered around the TV, and one woman in particular turned to me and she said, "We're at war." And that was the first time that thought had really crossed my mind. And she was so adamant about it, and there were tears in her eyes as she said it. And I have to say that one of the most striking memories I have of that day was her looking at me saying, we're at war, and me realizing, oh my goodness, we probably are.
We'll wrap this up in a moment, but the people you talked to most recently, how do they feel about the various events that have commemorated this anniversary? I'm thinking of what you mentioned in Belleville and the pieces of the tower that are part of that memorial, and the 7,000-plus flags in Forest Park, which is a terrifically emotional thing to see. How do they feel about, I don't want to call them gestures, they're much more than that, but these events that are used to commemorate the anniversary.
I think they appreciate them.
Yeah.
Because it means that people do remember and they haven't forgotten. So I think they look at them with appreciation.
Yeah. Sure they do. Mary Leonard, thank you for being with us and helping us remember. There's been a lot of this sort of thing over the weekend, needless to say, many, many emotional stories, heartbreaking stories from people who have been through it. But we certainly appreciate your giving us your input and the way that you've covered it over the years. We'll see you on the 20th anniversary.
Thank you, Don.
That's Mary Leonard of St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.